last savior.
Oh, the savior of mankind, please show us a sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah. To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is The Last Savior from IRIB English Radio. I'm Mustafa as your host, and with me is Brother Alavi in the studio. He has a PhD in philosophy and is an Islamic researcher. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
How are you doing?
Thank you very much, and thanks for inviting me to your show.
Thank you so much. On this show, we discuss what we should be doing during the ghaybah, during the occultation of our 12th imam. This is a very, very important topic in Islam, and it's been emphasized a lot by all of our imams. And of course, I think it's a critical topic as well, the world that we're living in. We definitely need to understand what we should be doing. So the question that I have for you today is, what do you think are going to be the characteristics of the imam's government? And before maybe even jump into that, maybe you can explain to us a little bit about the history, about what did some of the imams that have gone, how did they deal with their representatives during their time? Because before this we were discussing, for example, the Walayat al-Faqih, the jurist. I think all these things are connected, and you can continue with that discussion and explaining to us, you know, what happened with the representatives during their time, and then we'll go into what the government of the imam will look like.
Well, we saw at the time of imams before Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, the time of Imam Jawad, Imam Hadi alayhi salam, and Imam Hassan al-Askari, they wanted to prepare the world for the arrival of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, and to some extent for the cultation of Imam maybe. Why? Okay. Because they started introducing some deputies among people. And it helps us to the discussion of the necessity of Wali al-Faqih at the time.
Right.
Because we want to say that imams, since they were the caliphs of Allah on the scene of the earth, they have not left. And that is actually the map, that is the order that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually engineered, that through imams, he actually appointed some deputies, that these deputies were going to implement the Islamic rulings among the nations, among the school, the followers of the school of Ahlul Bayt.
I think some people get the idea that the imams are just going to do everything alone, right? They like put all the response. No, it's I think the idea is teamwork.
True. Right?
And that's what we see in history as well.
All the imams, are not going to do anything, I mean, by their own selves alone. I mean, they actually distribute and leave it on the shoulder of the people.
They delegate duties.
They give just the, they just order the people to, because it's us, I mean, it's us that we are in need of this, let's say, perfection, in need of learning to the status of imam and to go up and find this beauty and sweetness of their presence. So we are in need of their presence. So that's why they actually elevate us. So if they want to elevate us, there are some ways for them to implement Islamic rulings through their deputies. I mean, the deputy model, the deputyship that has been introduced by Imam Jawad and later by Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. So they slowly and gradually prepare the people that there is a time that you might not have access to Imam. So the deputy is saying my word. So when the deputies came and report to the Imams, and sometimes Imams actually told them what was right and what was wrong, but since they were the deputies and for whatever they have been doing, and they have been giving orders. All in all, these deputies, the deputy model was working very properly in different parts of the world.
And I think makes sense, right?
That, definitely. This is a teamwork, because they are going to manage different parts of the world and to, to take the message of Imam and the message of Islam to different parts of the world. So Imam needs some people from their own nations to come and help and to transfer the message. So this is this shows us the importance of a person who has been appointed by Imam or has been representing the Imams to implement Islamic rulings among the people in their own community and society.
Yeah, and like I was saying, I think to me it makes sense that regardless of what kind of work's being done, it's normally done by a team of people. It's normally we delegate, we pick a leader.
True.
So This is the same system, but we're saying it's divine. It's a divine system, and it works on a perfect basis. We'll go for a break, and then we'll continue with the discussion that we've been having.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand-year-old
Okay, so we're back, and we've been discussing from previous episodes, we've discussed the necessity of the Supreme Jurist, the Walayat Faqih. We've talked about how different imams dealt with their representatives and how that makes sense, how it's teamwork, how they delegate duties. What I would like to now maybe sort of shift a little bit of the discussion, even though it's still related, is, you know, once the imam does arrive, what are the characteristics of that government? What will it look like? What have we been told? Have you been told anything at all, first of all, I guess, is my question. And what that looks like?
Definitely. We have lots of characteristics for this ideal and utopia that we call it Mahdavi utopia, that we're expecting it to come, inshallah, hopefully. Look, the government of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is like the government of any of other messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the prophets, or the imams of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that were on the scene of the earth, but with more emphasis on its universality. So,
What does that mean?
I mean, it is more universal than other, let's say, governments that we have seen, or we have read about, or we have actually seen the history. So it means that he is going to implement Allah's rulings on the earth in a more wider scale.
Right, we're saying that in history we've seen that maybe it's been limited to a certain region or country, for example, or space. Mm-hmm. But in this sense, it will be holistic, it will be universal, it will take into account everyone.
So all the people, all the inhabitants of the earth will be under this beauty of the government of Muhammad Ali Islam. So one of the distinguished characteristics of Imam's government is its universality.
Okay.
So that it has a wide scope, and all the inhabitants of the world will benefit and will enjoy from the beauty of this government.
Right.
That in which the Allah's rules and regulations will be implemented in their right and in their perfect manner. There are some characteristics that they have been bolded in hadith and rawayat.
Before you go into those characteristics, I think I can relate this to current times where we see, for example, Western influence on the world.
Yeah.
Right? It's very, very complete almost, in the sense that all the inhabitants of the earth are somehow or other affected by it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Indirectly or directly.
Very true. But we can compare it to the time of Joseph, Yusuf the Prophet.
I'm saying currently we're under a negative influence of the West.
No. I want to say even the time of, even this is with regard to the negative influence of Egypt of the time.
I see.
Of Yusuf alayhi salam. Was like, for example, Egypt was United States of today.
Right.
I mean, all the people were wishing to go and to live there and to sense living there and to see the beauties, because it was actually the materialistic beauty was already there. So yes, it's true that after the arrival of Yusuf everything changed, and alhamdulillah they tasted the beauty of even justice inside that, and it got completed, and people found the beauty of having a prophet like Yusuf alayhi salam. So we can find such a case in the past, but we saw that after that we have a prophet like Moses, who was called a savior, and he came and saved the whole world of that time, because We have also in a hadith that whatever is going to happen for the Muslims for the arrival of Muhammad alayhi salam has lots of similarity to the arrival of Moses and Musa alayhi salam for Bani Israel. Yes.
This is sort of slightly off topic, but is this correct that the people of Musa, those people, I heard that because of their action and their prayers, Hazrat Musa's arrival was made earlier than maybe expected. Is that correct?
Look, definitely the prayers of the people worked because they were expecting, they hastened the reappearance of
Moses. They hastened, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Due to the prayers, so we can take some lessons.
Yeah.
When we get disappointed from anywhere else and we pray for the arrival of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, inshallah, he will come even earlier.
Maybe we'll just go for a quick break and then we'll continue. Okay, so we're back, and you were just going to tell us about the key characteristics of Imam Mahdi's government that have been highlighted, right?
Yeah.
So please continue.
So the first characteristic that I want to refer to is the revival of the culture of Quran. Where am I basing my discussion on? I'm basing my discussion on a phrase in the supplications of, or the ziyaratnama, what we call it, and the supplications of Imam Zaman alayhi salam, that we refer to him as As-salamu alayki ya taliya kitab Allah wa tarjumana. O salam, O peace to you, all the taliya kitab Allah, that is the one who comes after the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is after the establishment of his government, he improves the culture of Quran over the whole world. I mean, the beauties of culture of Quran are being introduced to the whole world.
Okay.
So this is one of the features of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
Can you maybe give an example of what that would mean, like culture of the Quran? It seems like a very big topic.
Quran has not been yet introduced well for us. As Muslims, I mean, we have not yet understood Quran well because Quran is very deep.
Oh.
And he's had layers and layers inside.
Unfortunately, in our communities, we don't even know the meaning of the Quran. Like in some of our communities, we just read the Arabic without the translation.
Yeah. Right? So if we recite the Quran and see how beautiful it is, and how when we see all the prescriptions for every illness, whether it's spiritual or material, we can find the solution in Al-Quran. When he comes and actually tells us that, look, everything was in Al-Quran and you neglected all these beauties of Quran, and the kind of way that, for example, the model of, let's say, government or the way to establish justice was explained in Al-Quran in the way that he brings, because he is the right exegete and right interpreter of the Holy Quran. He is that لا يمسه للمطهرون, when we say in Al-Quran, that do not touch it except the purified ones. He is the purified person who is going to touch the Quran and tell us and actually disclose the knowledge, the ma'rifah, or the sciences from Quran and tell us, look, everything comes from that.
Yeah, and you're saying we're beginning to value the Quran for what it really is. Because I think today, for example, I remember a while ago, this is probably going to give away my age, you know, that there was a book, The Seven Effective Habits. Mm. Do you remember there was a book about like seven effective habits of successful people became really popular? Or you hear these sort of you know, they become so popular in culture, people are implementing these sort of seven habits, whereas the Quran is giving us habits, right?
Very true.
The Quran is maybe giving us like a million habits that which would make us more successful.
Yeah.
Whereas we're focusing on some maybe other things. You're saying the culture will be there for the Quran.
Due to the purity that we can find, we can benefit from Quran more and more. So when the most purified entity of the world comes and tells you what is in Quran, then you'll find the beauties of Quran more and more. So he is the one that revives Quran and tells you, okay, this is the Quran that you were unaware of. So he is the one who actually discloses this old deep ocean of knowledge for us from Quran.
And the way you're describing it, I wish I was there right now. I wish I was living in that time right now.
Inshallah, we pray
and,
that.
Okay, so thank you so much. That was that's all the time we have for this episode, but we will be continuing with this topic in the next episode, and there's a lot to discuss here. Please join us in the next episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.